CliffCentral.com.
Hey, come and sit down, sir. How are you? Stevens Mokgalap. You're from Pretoria, like me.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, where in Pretoria?
So it's a territorial thing.
Where are you from?
Well, my hometown is Winterveld.
Winterveld?
Yeah.
Is that even a real town?
It is definitely a real town. It is a real town.
Okay. How are you, Stevens?
No, I'm cool, and you, buddy?
Let me introduce you to everybody. This is Stevens Mokgalap. He's an MP and the president of the Africa Liberal Network. Now, this is something that I only learned very recently. I mean, I probably should have been speaking to you a long time ago because I like liberals. I think I'm a liberal. I try to be some of the time, you know. Occasionally, I have to check myself, which I think is what good liberals do because you know that you're probably likely to make mistakes. But what is a liberal? Let's define this and let's help everybody to figure out whether they might be liberals too. And then if they think they're your friend, they might want to carry on listening. If they think you're their enemy, they might want to carry on listening.
Yeah. Well, thanks very much, Gareth. And thank you for giving me this opportunity to be on your show here.
Sure, of course.
And discussing this important, concept. Liberalism, it's simple and pure. Mm-hmm. It's about individual rights. It's about your individual rights, freedom of speech, freedom of association, freedom of religion, freedom of expression, freedom of sexual orientation, human rights, free market economy, democracy, rule of law, equality before the law. These are the key concepts of what liberalism is about.
Those all sound like things.
Yeah, sounds fantastic.
Yeah, those sound like things no one could possibly have a problem with. So who are the people who are anti-liberals? And what exactly, let's start with that. Who are the people who don't like that stuff?
It's a very interesting question. I was in the US last year in October, doing some work for Africa Liberal Network. And every time I would go into a meeting and I would say I'm the president of Africa Liberal Network, people were looking at me strangely. And I was wondering why I thought I'm in a free world. Why are people so, amused by the word liberalism? Up until we get to one meeting when I finally asked, I said, but this is odd, man. I had about 18 meetings and people are looking at me strangely when I talk about that.
Yes.
And someone said, no, in the US, ever since the economic downturn, we don't want to be associated with liberalism. We'd rather be progressive. I said, okay. So the new word of liberalism in the West is about being progressive.
But isn't that a different thing to liberal?
It is a very different thing. But, when I listened to you talking about American politics are always interesting. I went to the Democrats' headquarters there and saw what they were doing. And every time I asked them, why couldn't you see this coming for the Americans? And they were showing me Bernie Sanders' videos. They were showing me Hillary Clinton's videos of the campaign and everything. But it is the essence of what liberalism is about. It's about freedom of choice.
Mm-hmm.
It's about democracy. And I think if you ask and say, let us bring it back to Africa. Liberalism in Africa started about 25 years ago in Dakar, in Senegal. The former president of Senegal, by the way, Abdoulaye Wade, is the father of liberalism in Africa because he's the guy who carried the baton and say, let us do things differently. Let us have a lean and mean government. Let us have an accountable government. Let us have democracy.
How long did he last with those terrible ideas?
Well, he lasted for two terms. The problems that we had with him was when he wanted to have a third term. And that is when the whole things
unraveled. Yeah.
But that is the problem. That's the Achilles heel of Africa.
But hang on, because the point is there are only really, you could broadly categorize the enemies of liberalism, the things that you said matter at the beginning of this discussion.
Yeah.
And you can always, the nice thing about podcasts, you can rewind.
Sure.
So you can listen again to what Stevens listed as the reasons that he's a liberal and the things that liberals stand for. There are two kinds of broad categorizations of people who don't like liberalism.
Yeah.
First, on the right, you have people who like an authoritarian, sometimes if it goes all the way to the right, fascist or even national socialist plan, where essentially you have a government that tells people what to do,
sure.
tells people how to live. It's all about order.
Yeah.
It's all about hierarchy.
Yeah.
And then you have on the opposite side the ones who tend towards socialism.
Mm.
And those people are collectivists. So they don't believe in individual rights.
Sure.
They believe in collective rights. So women have these rights. Men have these rights. Workers have these rights. But they're all kind of different. And depending on which group you belong to, you have different rights.
Mm.
So on the left and the right, you have enemies of liberalism.
Mm.
How about how popular this is in Africa? I mean, a lot of people would say it's not a very popular philosophy in Africa because we have a lot of authoritarian regimes.
Sure.
We have a lot of right-leaning regimes, left-leaning regimes. Is it a popular thing being a liberal in Africa?
Of course, Gareth. You know, something that is very much interesting, by the way, we have about 50 political parties from over 35 African countries.
Mm-hmm.
So it shows you the length and breadth of where we are. We almost about the 2/3 of the African Union because of its 54 member states. We are 35. And what makes it very much attractive, it is the fatigue of Africans with authoritarian, with undemocratic government, you know, with socialism in particular. But what it makes it attractive, it is the issue of the free market economy. It is the individual right. Because of African society in general, we are socialistic, you know, and community based. But the fact that liberalism says you can be who you want to be as an individual, it protects your own human dignity and it protects your own individual rights and freedom. And that's what makes it attractive. And contrary to popular belief, while liberalism is under attack in Europe and elsewhere because of populist movements, here in Africa is giving rise because of we've got the youth population that says we need innovative ways of lifting ourselves out of poverty, unemployment, and underdevelopment. And that is where liberalism come in because of it give you that choice. It give you that free market economy. It give you accountability. It gives you democracy, you know. And that is what the people want. So in Africa, liberalism is on the right. We've got government in Senegal. The current government in Senegal is a member of Africa Liberal Network and Liberal International.
Okay.
Yeah, of Macky Sall. The government in Ivory Coast is the government of President Ouattara, is a member of Africa Liberal Network and Liberal International, and of course back home here. So we are on the rise.
Who here is a liberal? I mean, if we look at our political spectrum, is Cyril Ramaphosa a liberal?
To some degree, and under one concept of liberalism.
Okay.
He's a free market economy guy.
But he also adheres to a lot of the more left or right leaning parts of what the ANC would probably term as not being very liberal.
Yeah, well, I mean, that is why I'm saying that
He's a bit of grey.
He's a little bit grey in terms
Julius Malema. Oh, is he a liberal?
He's our challenge. He's the populist.
He's our challenge.
You know, he's our challenge as liberals, and not only here in Africa, but everywhere in Europe. If you see the elections in Europe, they can give you a perspective that, you know, liberalism, our sister party in the UK, the Lib Dems, have been wiped out of the political spectrum there.
Yeah.
We are happy in Germany, the FDP have made it back into the Bundestag. You know, in France, Macron is a liberal, you know.
Okay.
So it's getting
there. Are
there
any liberals in South America?
We've got a party in Nicaragua.
Wow, that you really had to dig deep to find them.
Yeah,
huh?
They are a party in Nicaragua who are liberal and in Venezuela. In fact, three weeks ago...
How are they doing?
Musi and I, we hosted the guys from Venezuela.
Now, is Musi Maimane a liberal?
Yes, he is. Yes, he is. I mean, you wouldn't be in this party that we are in.
So you're an MP for the DA?
Yes.
But has the DA ever made you choose between your liberal ideals, your liberal principles, and something that the party wants that you might think is illiberal?
You know what, Gareth? I'm one person who, and that is why I'm the president of Africa Liberal Network. I always have a fight when I'm in the big international stage with our sister parties in Europe. We've got two parties in the Netherlands, the VVD and the D66, who are liberal parties. And always when I meet with them, I say, which one of you is liberal? For me, there's no conservative liberalism, neutral liberalism. Mm. Liberalism is liberalism. When it says rule of law, free market economy, it doesn't say mini free market economy or mini rule of law.
Yeah.
It is what it is. So,
but when I
find the distaste of discussing liberalism in different formats. Liberalism
is liberalism. You don't think that there's sometimes a conflict between the DA and the ideas of liberalism? Now, let me give you an example. I remember when Helen Ziller was... she still talks about it. I mean, you know, you just go, if you want to hear someone talk, you just follow Helen Ziller and she'll talk and talk and talk and talk. She talks about the capable state.
Yeah.
And it seems to me that she's almost a little state-centric in that approach, mm-hmm. which isn't a liberal point of view. The liberals want less government, mm-hmm. right? They want it, they want as little government interference in their lives yeah. as possible. And they don't want an incapable state, mm-hmm. but they want the state to be a minor distraction.
Mm-hmm. A capable state. Let us define what a capable state of. A capable state is a lean and mean and effective state, which is what liberalism is about. Mm-hmm. It's about a capable state that ensures that there is accountability, that the public officials who are appointed or even elected are held accountable. It's about ensuring that there is sufficient public participation and consultation. It's about making sure that basic services are provided and that the state makes enough resources for basic service, provision. That is what it's all about.
So in your mind, there isn't necessarily any conflict.
When you talk about the capable state, of course, a capable state is a capable state.
So we want that.
Yeah.
All right. What about these people who call other people neoliberals? What does that mean?
You know, neoliberalism.
It's like an insult, isn't it?
Yeah. It's they call it neo because of it. It's just saying.
It's new.
New. You know, it's a synonym for new, you know, but it's been put into academic context. And I hope those who are saying new liberalism know what it means because of, as I say in my initial, you know, point is that liberalism is liberalism. It's talking about those key fundamental principles. And I think the challenge came in 2000 and in the 2000s when the economic downturn happened and people blamed it on the market liberalization and how it happened in mm-hmm. the US and the UK where, you know, the markets overstretched their mandate. But that is not the only aspect of liberalism. It is one but a portion of that. You know, we're talking about other fundamental freedoms that are involved in liberalism. So it's demonized because of, you know, what happened in terms of the economic crunch. But liberalism is not only about the economy.
Yeah, and capitalism isn't a religion.
Yeah.
Well, you know.
I mean, it's just like communism.
Yeah. It makes mistakes, it does things right, it does things wrong, but it's by far the best way for someone who has nothing to end up with something.
Simple as that. Because of liberalism says, that is why the focus is on an individual. And you ask me that question about, in Africa, how do we navigate the deep socialist, tendencies and roots that we have? I mean, it's coming from our history as Africans. We seem to be more socialistic.
Well, also because of the influence of the USSR on anti-colonial movements.
Of course, you know. But liberalism gives us that perspective on focusing on an individual, that it's not about the background of where Siya comes from, but it's about his individual capacity and the opportunities that he can grab.
Yeah.
You know, I listened to you guys. You were talking about the issues of your school fees. You went to a Model C school fees and... He might have been ripped off because of he went to another.
He went to a very expensive school.
A very expensive school. You know, should we have that? Liberalism.
Meanwhile, Nolo, how much Nolo?
150 a year.
150 a year for Nolo.
Exactly. That under liberalism, you don't have to have that because of you got to have quality public education. Why do people go to private education? It's because of the failure of the public education system.
All right.
Notwithstanding the fact that liberalism encourage also a hybrid mix of private schooling and public schooling. But if our public schools are in order, then you don't need to spend all those monies.
I know you have to catch a flight just now, but
I'm with you. I'm enjoying this.
The African Liberal Network. Yeah. How can can people get involved? Can they join? Can they ask questions? Yeah. Can they participate in events? I mean, what kind of things do you guys do? Do you have meetings?
Sure.
Are you always going to be the president?
isn't it only 4 years and then an election? Yeah.
Actually, I participated in the crafting of the Constitution of Africa Liberal Network. And when we were crafting it, unlike the Liberal International, which we belong to, Liberal International is the bigger body of all liberals across the world.
All right.
We have limited our terms to 2 terms, you know, so that we put it explicitly there. Because of we know in Africa we've got this Achilles heel of, you know, trying to extend the term limit. So we've kept it deliberately for that matter, even if we don't have to, just to send the symbolic message.
All right.
But what we do, we are a group of political parties. Okay. I would say here in the SADC region, we are based here, obviously, in South Africa. We've got our head office in Cape Town. We have parties in Malawi. We've got party in Zambia. We've got
so it really is a continental organization.
It's a continental organization from east, west, north, south. We have divided ourselves into 5 regions. North, East, West, South, and Central Africa.
Mm-hmm.
We've got parties everywhere.
Which of those regions is the least liberal, in your opinion?
Oof. That's a good question. I would say where I am, the South.
South.
Because of, you know, the 15 SADC states in SADC, they have a very serious lineage towards liberation movements.
Yes.
You know,
yeah,
you've got the ANC here,
ZANU.
You've got ZANU in Zimbabwe, you've got Frelimo in Mozambique, you've got, you know, Angola, you've got Namibia, SWAPO. So they are very, their role exists to protect this liberation movement.
Mm-hmm.
And where liberalism is growing at a massive rate, I mean, out of these 50 parties I'm talking about, almost 18, 19 comes from West Africa.
That's where it's growing, huh?
It's growing massively.
And that's also where the economies are growing.
And that's where the economies are growing. By the way, I wanted to say that if you look at the fastest growing economies in Africa, most are from the liberal, you know, countries. Like Senegal,
Kenya. Can someone go tell Praveen Gordhan and Tito Mboweni?
Tanzania, you know.
Are you going to tell Tito and Praveen and those guys? Because they seem to be not so sure.
You know, South Africa is always confused when it comes to ideologies. You know, how can a communist, a socialist, and a capitalist stay in one room and come up with something that makes sense? It's just confusion. You know, it's just confusion. So, we exist. For you to be a member, you got to be a political party, of course.
Uh-huh.
Even though we
so individuals can't join.
Individuals.
That's so ironic.
No,
because you're an individual rights organization.
No, remember, but we are a political organization. However, we've made provision that people like Gareth Cliff, who's got a local standing, you know, can come and join as an individual.
Okay, but ordinary people can't.
We are a political institution.
Okay,
you know?
But are there other organizations people could join then that you are associated with? Because let's say I'm a guy like you heard Ngobile, who called us earlier, right? He's tired of this collective rights stuff, and he believes in certain liberal principles, and I'm not going to put words in his mouth because he might disagree with these things.
Yeah.
But he wants to join up with a bunch of like-minded people to advance the cause of liberalism in Africa. Let's imagine.
Yeah.
What can he do?
Definitely. What he can do, he can contact me. He can contact us. We've got our secretariat office in Cape Town.
Mm-hmm.
We've got the coordinator who's doing the normal full-time job of coordinating.
Right.
And then we can do programs together.
And you guys have reading material and you have, you'd have events and talks. And
yeah. We've got the Pan-African Liberal Manifesto that we adopted in Abidjan in 2012. That talks about, you know, issues of peace and security, issues of economy, issues of democracy, issues of human rights. And then we've got the Andorra Liberal Manifesto that we adopted last year in Andorra in 2017, which reacts to about liberalism in the 21st century and the effect of what the populists are doing and what can we offer as liberals under this competitive climate where populism is on the rise. So what we do is we organize fringe seminars. We've got two partners that we are partnering with, is the Westminster Foundation from UK and as well as the FNF from Germany, through the Friedrich Naumann Foundation. So we are collaborating and having programs. We just had an anti-corruption workshop that we had, and then now we're going to be having a regional digital journalism workshop that we're going to have now in Johannesburg. So that is what we always do. And then we're going to have the Congress, the LI Congress in Senegal now on the 27th to the 30th of November. Then in March next year, in Morocco, we'll be having our own General Assembly. So we have a General Assembly once in 2 years, and then we've got Executive Committee, which is myself and the five vice presidents from the five regions, together with our funding partners that we always do have. And then from there, we have fringe sessions that we always... So by the way, let me put this one also, Gareth. On the 28th of November, we will be having a fringe session in Dakar on describing African liberalism.
Oh, well, that'll be
nice one.
So we will see some published material from that.
Wait after that.
Okay.
I wish I would have you there because that would have been an interesting.
It's a
one.
Little bit. It's more than a day's journey. So, you know, I've only got a.
I've only got
a broken down old car.
That is the strange part of things. You know, I traveled to Morocco 3 weeks ago.
Yes.
And to get to Morocco, you know, I had to go through Kenya, and from Kenya, went to Dubai, and then Dubai, come back. Mm-hmm. You know, that is the problem. And that is what we as liberals were saying. We got to have intra-Africa trade. And intra-Africa trade is about 12% comparatively with elsewhere.
We got to pump that up,
but it needs interlocking and interconnected infrastructure, which we don't have. It's still crazy that for you to go to Senegal, you would have to, only have a one direct flight that goes to Senegal, to Washington via Senegal. So you only get on it if you are going to Washington. It's crazy. And it's just a 5-hour flight. I mean, from here to Senegal, it's 5 hours. It should be quick. But you know, you only get that flight when you go to Washington. So that connectivity of Africa is still a problem, and that is what we need to address.
All right. Well, the other, the short answer, I suppose, also for someone who wants to join a liberal network like yours is to join the parties that they represent, and perhaps even to start their own parties.
They can start their own. Look, you see, the beauty with liberalism, Gareth, is that it doesn't limit individual rights. Mm-hmm. So either you can be within a political party, or you can be a individual. It's fine.
Sure.
We are able. It's just that you got to make sure that you have impact, because of we work in an impact space.
Right.
You know, our impact is to make sure that we have more liberal governments in Africa to address our issues of underdevelopment, unemployment,
and
poverty.
Stevens, I can't disagree with you. I know you're off to Cape Town now.
Sure.
And good luck with this very important conference where you will define African liberalism for us. And
definitely.
Then we'll have a chat again after that.
Can I also just ask you, Gareth, do me a favor. Call for your viewers or your listeners just to give you some snapshots of what they believe should African liberalism should be.
Oh, you want some feedback?
And then give me a feedback that I can carry and incorporate into the, because of we want to describe it our way.
You're giving them homework. Maybe they want to do it, maybe they don't. But where do you want them to send these answers?
They can send it into my email.
Which is?
I'll give you my email.
You know what we'll do?
Yeah.
We'll put it on. Yeah, we'll put
on
it on
the podcast.
All right. See, we'll make sure it's there.
Yeah.
All right.
So let's do that, because of I want it to be described in an African way.
Because
we always have got this thing that liberalism is a Western concept.
We end up talking about Rousseau and
So let us once and for all kill the debate and say, what does it mean for us as Africans, and why is it growing in Africa?
Well, if you say it is, I'm happy, because it sounds to me like something we can all get along with.
Great stuff. Let's do it.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you very much for having me here. I think we should be doing quite more often.
Yeah, well, you're welcome. You know that.
Sorry it's taken so long. No, definitely. I mean, it's just a question of scheduling. But what I will do is that after the Senegal Congress, what I will do is I would want to come for a follow-up and give you a briefing of what – the discussions were about and what do we think about African liberalism. And perhaps maybe we can even get calls and have an engagement on
it. Well, I mean, in the meantime, people can give you their ideas and their definitions of
awesomeness.
Liberalism. All right, very good. So we will decide from an African point of view what liberalism is and what we want it to sound like and look like. And Stevens Mokgalapa is going to be representing us in Senegal on this matter. And if you want to find out more, you can go to africaliberalnetwork.org to find out more. Thank you so much. The president of the African Liberal Network. Very interesting.
Great stuff, yeah.
Good stuff. All right, have a good flight.
Yeah, right, and definitely, let's be in touch.
Good
See
man.
Ya.
Thank
Thanks,
you.
Baba.
There we go.
Great.
Thank you.
Good to meet you.
There he is.
The pleasure is all mine.
Stevens Mokgalap.
We'll be in touch, my buddy.
Sure. Do we need to take a picture, Sia?
Yes.
All right, so I need to play a song, right?
Yes, please.
All right, well, let's do that now.
Give us a licky.
You know what, Leanne, just because you asked, that's exactly what we'll do. Just because you asked so nicely.
Time flies by in the yellow and green. Stick around and you'll see what I mean. There's a mountain top that I'm dreaming of. If you need me, you know where I'll be. I'll be riding shotgun underneath the hot sun, feeling like a someone. I'll be riding shotgun underneath the hot sun, feeling like a someone.
Well, that was a disaster.
There's a nice rinse.
There we go. We'll try and fix that. That's how we try to fix things. Oh my God, what a disaster.
No one even noticed the difference.
The song just stopped.
No one knows.
It just stopped.
No one knows.
All right. Okay, well.
That was an interesting conversation.
A conversation. Yes, it was. It was a good conversation.
Wow. Okay.
All right. Well, jeez. I've got some stuff here. First of all, this is a, you know, we occasionally get these heartfelt emails. Like yesterday we had Dr. Liesel. Today we've got Stephen Malachi, who's not related to Jane Malachi, but I'll address that in a second. He says, hey, Gareth, I've been holding back writing you this message, but something inside kept telling me I am selfish not to share this with you. On the night of 19 September 2018, Wednesday, 9 p.m., I received a call from my younger brother who was in Limpopo at the time I was in Joburg to tell me our dad had died. I'm not going to bore you with the details of his death, short illness, and that was that. On the 20th of September, early hours of Thursday, I left Joburg. I was driving home alone so that I could start planning his funeral. What you guys don't know is how much you carried me through the journey. I was catching up on some podcasts I missed around September. I was sobbing along the way. My soul was shattered, but you guys gave me mental strength to carry on with my journey. Yeah, I mean, I cannot remember all the finer details of the individual podcasts, but in the middle of my cry while I was driving, I'd find myself laughing at some of the jokes you were telling. I drove about 500 kilometers by myself. Only when I got home, I realized that I was never alone in the car. I had you guys with me all the way. Thank you for your company. My dad was a super dad to me. He loved education madly. He was a mathematician by qualification and a teacher by profession. He was an inspiration to me, and I'm now a qualified mathematician and a banker. He's gone, but at least I know I have friends in you guys to listen to and learn from. Maybe someday I'll call in, but I hardly listen live. I prefer listening to the show in the afternoon when I'm driving home after a long day. I thought I'd share my story with you guys because I've been listening to you from inception and I feel like I'm part of the team. Well, you kind of are.
Mm-hmm.
So what's nice about this. Regards, Stephen Malachi. Not related to Jane Malachi. She is nonetheless my sister. Lastly, and not leastly, my regards to Leanne Moll, said by Sia, the bounce, Nolo, to you, and Duo, and especially to you, as you would normally say.
Well, Stephen can be my friend. If you can do banks and maths, then...
she needs all the help she can get. Yeah.
You're welcome anytime.
So there we go. Isn't that nice?
That's really nice.
Yeah, that's awesome.
So you get an email like that, just lifts your spirits. So
yes.
You do that for us just as much as you say we do it for you. It is a virtuous cycle. Mutually beneficial situation.
Yes. Like symbiotic.
It. Symbiotic.
Would you like to hear about a runaway ghost train?
No.
Okay. What? Would you like...
Yes, no, I do. Of course I would.
You almost got me.
Go on. Tell me more.
The whole of Western Australia's rail operations have been shut down.
What?
As of today. After this runaway train laden with iron ore travelled almost 100 kilometres by itself.
What?
With no one on board until it had to be deliberately derailed. This train hurtled in this rural area of Australia through the Pilbara region for 50 minutes until it was deliberately derailed.
It hurtled.
Yes. So the driver, this train's 2 kilometers long. Okay. Think about that.
2 kilometers of iron ore train.
Yes. Jeez.
Call you up in the middle. Runaway train. Never come on. I like this song. I forgot about this song. Like a no-touch burner. I was a key that could use a little. Just wait for the chorus. It's worth it.
Okay. So tired that I couldn't even sleep. So many secrets I couldn't keep. Promise myself I wouldn't leave. One more promise I couldn't keep. It seems no one can help me now. I'm in too deep. There's no way out. This time I have
everybody,
really
are you ready?
Myself.
One. Australia, iron ore and 2 kilometers. All right, enough. There we go.
So the driver gets out of this 2 kilometer long train. He steps out of the locomotive to inspect an issue with one of its 268 wagons, and the train just takes off without him. It just goes.
But it didn't crash into anyone.
No, so no one was injured. But it took 50 minutes to alert everyone. It's a BHP-operated train.
But did it eventually grind to a halt?
No,
or?
They had to deliberately derail it.
Oh, shit.
From Perth, which is more than 1,500 kilometers away, via a remote control center. So, no one was injured, but the train has obviously been substantially damaged.
Hmm.
And the track, 1.5 kilometers of track, has been damaged as well. The reports and the investigations are expected to take all the way until the first quarter of next year.
Stupid Australians. Can't
what's
you keep
going
your,
on?
Can't you Australians keep your trains under control? How embarrassing. Really, I mean, this is outrageous.
It's really scary, though. Imagine that guy seeing his train.
A 2 kilometer long
oh,
train.
Geez.
He gets out, he goes, I'm going to just check the wheels.
He was probably taking a leak, actually.
Yeah. I'm going to get out and take a piss. And then he got out and he was standing there tinkling against the wheel and things starts turning. He goes, And you imagine him going, and trying to run to catch up so he can get back in the locomotive and drive the thing. And then he realizes, I'm not going to catch it. And he watches as that last car disappears onto
but
the horizon.
Are you telling me you couldn't hold on to anything in a 2 kilometer long train?
Oh, just you heard how fast it was going.
Just this a little back end then.
This is not Will Smith in Wild Wild West.
Good point. Okay. All right. Yeah.
Also it's a cargo train. So you can imagine these piles of all.
Yeah.
Get onto cart number 167, you can't walk to the front.
Take you forever.
The company must be pissed.
Yeah, well, it's going to cost a fortune, right?
Well, apparently they haven't notified the stock exchange or anything because it's not going to have such a big effect.
Oh.
But the train itself and the track are what's devastating.
Still, it's very embarrassing.
The ghost train.
Have you ever wondered, because I went for a coffee with a friend of mine the other day, and he ordered an almond milk cappuccino.
Mm-hmm.
Heard of those?
Yes. So you've heard of almond milk, right?
Ah, I thought about this. I thought
the way you get the milk is if you just squeeze them.
Exactly.
No, I'm kidding.
Milk in a 600 kilogram Holstein? Now that's easy. Milk in a 1 gram almond? That's hard. Tiny little udders. Tiny.
Tiny udders.
This is a picture of my grandfather in World War II. When he got back from the war, he started this here nut milkery, and I'm third generation nut milker now, and I love what I do.
So this guy is a nut milker.
Wow.
He owns a nut milk farm. Do you want to hear how he does it?
Sure.
He's got little machines. Listen to this.
I love what I do. There's so much confusion in city folk these days. They're talking about nuts don't lactate, nuts don't have nipples. I'll show you a nut nipple. So this is a tandem nut milker. It milks 2 nuts at a time. It's comfortable for them. They want to be milked. You'll never see a happier nut than a freshly milked nut. And, you can hear them a little bit. If you listen, you hear that chirping?
That's a happy nut. Back in the old days, we used to train gerbils to milk the nuts, but they would eat some of our herd, and it wasn't ideal. So these dual nut milkers have really changed the game. I know exactly how many we got. We got 564 of these running 24/7. It's quite the operation. So it takes about 200 almonds to get a half gallon of almond milk. And see, that rare, that's what you get from a couple of nuts. Looks like milk to me.
Tiny little cup of milk.
Tiny little nipples.
Nice and warm. All our almonds are fully organic, grass-fed. Oh, this will last them a good month, I'd say. All these ones you see here, these are females. Now, the ones you see in the store, those are all males. They have no udder at all. And most people go their whole lives and see nothing but a male almond because, well, we don't let the females off the farm.
You gotta be careful if you're gonna pick up and pet an almond. They'll jump right out at you, poke you in the eye. Ooh,
did you know this?
Oh, easy girl.
Did you know that? Did you know that almonds could jump up and poke you in the eye?
With their udders.
Female ones, very hardcore, yeah. I think that's beautiful. Now I understand how
nut milk. What a lovely story. Now I understand.
Yeah, now you get it. All right. I thought I'd just fill you in this morning.
If you say you are not learning anything from the show this morning.
Yes, how dare you?
Gubernatorial parliament.
Gubernatorial, right.
And now.
Have you heard of Goober Grape?
No way.
That's what that word reminds me of.
Goober Grape.
The Americans love their peanut butter and jelly. And this is a product that you can actually buy online. And it was available in South Africa until when I was a little girl, it was. Mm-hmm. And it's a jar of peanut butter and you get either strawberry jam or blueberry jam. But it's piped in with this. You can imagine like a cake pipe, an icing pipe thingy.
Yes.
And it's in like Aquafresh toothpaste. It's in a swirl.
A swirl.
Of peanut butter and jelly. Goober
that
grape.
That sounds amazing.
Oh, that actually does sound so really good.
All right. Well, someone sent this to me. One of our listeners who said that they watched an episode of Ellen and they saw someone on Ellen who reminded them so much of Sia. Do you know about this, Sia?
Yes, I do.
I know about it and I have a story to it.
I think his name is Kaylin.
So maybe I should say first. Okay. Yeah, so we were emailed saying, doesn't this guy remind you of Sia? His name's Kaylin. Ellen made him famous, actually.
Yeah, who is he?
He was just a guy on YouTube who used to lie on the sofa, literally with his head in his hand, and film himself reacting to mainly food videos.
Yeah.
And he's just hilarious. He's like... the things that
so he's
he says.
He's a YouTube star.
Yeah. And Ellen saw this and played a bit of his thing. Now he's become part of the crew. He goes to, red carpet events and interviews people. Everyone now knows who Kaylin is.
All right. So Kaylin is apparently a lot like Sia. Is this what you are told? Has anyone told you this? I've
always thought so. From the beginning. When I first saw Kaylin, I was like, that's Sia.
I don't know what would make you think that way.
Let's listen. Here's Kaylin and another guy called Matt, and they go through a haunted house. So the first voice you'll hear is Matt, and then you'll hear Kaylin. Well, listen for the Sia guy.
All right, so we're at the fair. We're going to go through the haunted house, because there is one.
I didn't sign up for this. I don't like this.
Nothing's even happening.
What's this door here?
What happened? Hang on. There's a problem. Hold on a second. You know, the YouTube with these goddamned ads. I'm so sick of YouTube and their ads. Anyway.
What is that? What the hell? Oh, shoot! Oh, my God! That one wasn't even real!
Okay, that does sound a lot like Sia. I mean, we've all heard the famous scream, right?
I miss it.
Oh, the famous scream.
Yeah, well, do you want to hear it? Just remind yourself. Here it is. Listen. All right, so compare that to Kaylin over here doing the same thing.
Oh, my God! That was exactly even real!
I need to go pray. I should have prayed before this. Oh, something wrong with your eye. You better call Dr. 90210 and get that fixed.
Yeah! Oh, why don't these things spread out? I thought this was the witch's territory. This ain't witch's territory. God damn!
These are dark, dark people to work here. Dark.
Anyway, it does
sound, enjoying this.
Does sound like it, you.
The first time I ever heard Jesus take the wheel was from out of Kaylin's mouth.
When and did he say that?
He was commenting on, you must see his, when he's commenting on like recipes and things and the horrible things that people put together on it, these shows.
It seems very simple, but watching his video is really entertaining. It's him commenting on food. It seems so boring, but once you watch one, you have to watch all of them.
He does an OM Kaylin slot now every Saturday that you can watch on YouTube. I'm totally addicted.
Oh my gosh, what does that mean?
So Kaylin is my southern brother.
He's a southern brother.
Okay.
Jesus, take the wheel.
Just needed to understand.
No, you sound, it sounds the same, right?
Yeah, especially from the waxing.
Yeah, we've still got footage of that.
Of waxing. Yep, sounds about right.
Right.
Well, if we're sticking to Kaylin and I'll totally just front us as nice people, an interesting study has come out from the Columbia Business School and also the University College London School of Management. They say that nice people are more likely to go bankrupt.
Oh.
Right. Yeah, you see, you've got to be crooked to be rich.
Yeah.
Right? This is actually...
I've believed that for a long time.
Oh, geez. And I think we're probably all thinking along the same lines. So it really is... The study has found, really, and they've dealt with more than 3 million participants in their various studies, the fact that a lot of nice people have this characteristic of being agreeable. They don't like to rattle the cage. They won't confront anyone in a situation of a confrontation. They'll go with what anyone else puts out on the plate.
They pay their fines.
They're agreeable.
Yes. And so when you really think about that in a practical sense, or even at the office, or how people work in the business world, well, that leads to nice people not making a lot of money, or even overextending themselves for friends or family members to the point where they'd rather put themselves in jeopardy than say no or reason with someone else.
This is great news for me.
Right.
This is great news for me. It means I'm going to have lots of money one
Bad
day.
Bad news for Sia and I.
No, wait. I'm conflicted with this.
In what way?
I feel that I'm not necessarily a nice person, but I'm very generous. And I know people that are very nice people. They're very, very nice, but they're very not stingy. Generous.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
I agree.
Rich Gareth is laughing in the corner at all of us.
As he counts his money as well.
So it's it's a bit of a... A mind fuck for me, if I'm being honest.
Yeah, this is a difficult one. I don't think generosity is necessarily what we're talking about here, but kind people, like nice people, people who are agreeable, people who try to please others. You do get railroaded.
Like that ghost
like
train.
Like that ghost train.
In Australia.
Well, if you're nice and poor and you live in Rio, there's a really nice restaurant for homeless people.
Oh.
I tell you what.
That's a reason to go.
This menu looks amazing.
Really?
Is it a nice restaurant for homeless people?
Yes, it's a nice restaurant. It's where very tasty dishes are conjured from food that would have otherwise have gone to waste, donated by huge companies.
Yes. It's so called, not rotten food, but just food that nobody else is using.
Yes.
Plus they sell by date.
It's
called Refettorio Gastromovita.
That's exactly what I want.
That's where I want to dine.
And it's in Dos Santos.
Yes.
And it feeds 90 people at a time. This is what you can sort of expect from the menu.
Yes.
This sounds weird at first, but it's actually quite an elegant meal. Banana skin and vegetables served with tangerine sauce, beans, rice, and farinha.
Miss me. When we said banana skin, nope.
I think that's just what it's served on. Very appetizing menu. I've got these really highly trained chefs who work there. People who've studied gastronomy.
Wow.
And traveled.
Imagine you've spent your whole life studying gastronomy and you get a whole bunch of leftovers and some homeless people.
And then how do they make their money?
It's all locally funded. It's a charity.
Well,
and
good for them.
This guy in particular, the lead chef, he has cooking schools in partnerships with universities for underprivileged youth, in he's got one in Mexico.
I was caught
one
out.
In El Salvador and one in South Africa.
I was caught out on Sunday. I ended up watching like 5 minutes of Carte Blanche.
Mm-hmm.
I apologize to everybody who's upset by this. But they had a similar story about like wasted food and how it can be used, and they feed all these kids in these soup kitchens and these kind of restaurants that supply everybody from school kids to adults who are homeless to a whole lot of other people. And it's really good. You think about how much food we waste, huh? You think about your food.
Hugely. I mean, you think about how much food is always on the shelf at Woolworths and must reach its expiry date, and then what? Well, there's one Woolworths in particular, my local one, where I've noticed a van pull up. I can't remember exactly what charity it is or home, but they take all the food that's expiring maybe that day.
Yeah, before it expires, they take it away. I often go to my own fridge, and I'm like, oh, shit, these tomatoes are about to expire. Better eat them now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and some of it's a crock of shit. I mean, like cheese doesn't – you don't have to eat cheese within 3 weeks.
No.
You know, you know how many months and years it lies in the open.
What's the most gross thing you found lying around your house that expired?
Oh, I actually did a cleanup over the weekend.
What did you find?
Did I not find the soggiest cucumber?
Oh, yeah, no, those are bad.
That was sitting in a vegetable tray in my fridge.
And it's gone liquid.
I didn't even know.
When you pick it up and it looks like a boomerang in shape.
And it had now spilled, and I keep all
the
my
juices.
Veggies in a Ziploc bag. It had spilled all of the juices out of the Ziploc bag and all over the veggie drawer. So now I had to deal with the soggy cucumber.
Wash it out.
And the cucumber juice.
I've found things in my dishwasher before where I've forgotten to turn the dishwasher on.
I thought it
stinks.
I just thought of one.
There's mold.
I once had people around for dinner, and I left like a lasagna in the oven for like a week afterwards.
No.
Yeah. Because I don't check the oven. I don't even use the oven. I don't know what to do with an oven. And I found this thing, and it had mold all over the top of it. It was disgusting.
Yo.
Nolo, what do you find?
The strawberries are the worst for me.
Oh.
I'll buy them and I'll have just a few and I'll forget about them.
And then they go brown and then get the
spores.
No,
they get the white yeah. fluffy.
They become all hairy.
Spongile, got anything disgusting in your house that's expired? No.
I think it was Ben who said he cracked open.
I don't have anything because I cook like a lot. So,
so you use...
Nothing ever like... I'm kind of like you, so if something is about to expire, I'm putting all those tomatoes in one dish.
Yeah, you use them up.
But I once bought eggs.
Yeah.
And I didn't know, I don't know if they were like 1 day to expiry. 30 eggs, and I'm going to name and shame. Check us right here.
Yeah, what happened?
I bought them, and then the following day, I'm like, what's going on? What is that smell?
Oh.
All of them.
All the eggs.
All of them, like... There was, the smell was like I, it was a lot. It was a lot. I had to throw 30 eggs because I was not going to bring them yet. Like, I'm not going to put them in the car and bring them.
What if one cracks? Your whole car would stink and everything else.
It was a lot.
Oh, that's revolting. Yeah.
I think Ben said he cracked an egg open once and it was black.
Oh my god, that's disgusting.
That's flayed of my cat.
Yeah, that's the type of session you'd need after that.
Throw that expired
shit out. Back to nice thoughts. Dessert at the homeless restaurant. Banana ice cream,
we're done with that.
Strawberries and granola.
Bring Jacques in here. I don't want to do this anymore. I'm so, disgusting. please get Jacques. I don't want to do this anymore with the food that's expired.
Make it stop.
It's revolting.
Okay, we need a break for the podcast. Okay, can we stop?
Stop
the
it.
Gargling. Stop. Okay.
I feel so much better.
Can we take a break for the podcast, please?
Oh, right.
Yes, okay. That little thing that we do every day.
All right. Well, here is something to just keep you amused while we take a quick break, because you know what I like to do here. I like to keep you busy. I like to keep you excited. I like to play stuff that makes you amused and gives you a good start to your day. And you know what? There's nothing like a little bit of this to start your day.
This.
Oh, so good.
If anyone is listening right
now, I'm kidding.
To the petrol station. Some people say.
That's exactly what happened. You pull up to the petrol station and that comes on. That's what I like to do. CliffCentral.com.